Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. You like this song, Hugh?
No. I mean, it took too long to get there. But it seemed like it'd be a nice little banger.
What do you mean it took too long? Don't songs usually start with verse, then chorus?
Well, it all depends on how it starts. Like, like some songs, when you listen to them, like the beat or the melody or something, it ropes you in.
Yeah, that one
didn't
for you?
Do it. No. This one didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you...
It felt like a pretty standard song structure, though. Like,
no, I mean, yeah. I give you that, but it just it took too long to get there for me.
Okay. Well, you can just say you don't like the song. That's totally fair. Okay.
Hugh, you've had many careers, right? Obviously, football player, then
actor.
Analyst, actor. Well, okay, I
guess. Going to hang out with some A-list actors.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, business owner, talk show host, all that, right?
Is King Kong going to be there?
I think at some point you should add music critic to it. You're a music critic at heart.
I am. You know, I like what I like, man, and I like
too hard of a critic. I would say.
No, but
different styles of music. Yeah, and stuff.
The pain in the ass,
but. It just all depends. Like, the song, to me, the beginning of the song is kind of what ropes you in.
Yeah, yeah.
And some songs are, like, they're good, but it takes a while to get to, like, the main, the meat and potatoes of the song.
I'm not a big R.E.O. Speedwagon guy, but, you know, the beginning
they've had
was
some bangers.
The beginning
had
was Bryce to the Nats.
They've had some bangers.
I mean, maybe that song's a parallel to the Philly season. Took a little while to get to the meat and the potatoes. The beginning's not great to you, but now look, now this thing is really hitting 36 and 17 under Mattingly. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to your phone calls here in a second. Do you believe this team is great? Bryce Harper said it last night. And we have to also get to a try day because one of our favorites needs some help here. But first, Bryce Harper, he had an interesting night last night, specifically him and the fans down in D.C. Now, that's always been a thing. It will always be a thing unless he left the Nationals to come to a division rival, right? So he's never going to be beloved forever down there, even though he was probably the greatest player in Nationals history. I mean, when you think about it, he played there 7 years. You know, I guess Strasburg delivered a World Series. Maybe Strasburg's above him, but whatever. I mean, Bryce is one of the few best players in the history of that franchise. But it's kind of weird, Hugh, because they don't like him anymore because he came to the Phillies.
At all.
I remember I was at the first Phillies-Nationals game after he signed here. We took a busload down to D.C., and they booed the crap out of him, and we cheered him. And so it's always a thing. But last night, they were getting on him specifically. So Bryce Harper last night, well, he decided to have a little gesture to the Nats fans as he rounded first base after the home run of the ninth. He stuck up his ring finger. So here's Bryce after the game on all that.
Like, you gestured out to right field when you're running the bases. Did you hear them chanting? And why did you do
obviously.
That?
Ring finger, though.
Okay.
Make sure that's out there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, everybody heard it. We heard it the other night. I mean, they're doing the same thing to Trey, which is crazy because they should probably know their history a little bit with them winning a World Series here. And but yeah, it's part of it. I love coming in here and playing here. I'm very familiar with the ballpark, and I love hitting here. If it's a big homer here. It's a big at-bats here as well. So yeah, I love playing here. So it's definitely a familiar place for me.
He was also asked about what it's like for him to go down there and get booed a lot, considering he was their franchise guy. Here's Harper on that. He kind of considers it weird, considering how long he did play and play well for them.
Do you kind of feed off of the hostile energy?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know. Everywhere I go, I get booed. And say my name or boo or anything else, I love it. You know, it's all part of it. So it's weird coming from a fan base, obviously, that I've sweated for 7 years. But there's a lot of people around here that enjoy me. So, you know, it's all part of it. It's all fun. You know, it's a crazy thing. There's a lot of people over there within that organization that I respect. And a lot of workers around the ballpark that I still love seeing. And it's part of it.
Hugh, your take on Harper versus the Nats fans, and specifically the gesture. You know, now I can imagine if you're in the crowd, like the upper deck, right? That finger he raised, the ring finger.
It looks like a middle finger.
Sure, it does. You can't tell from that distance. Now, as you zoom in, and he's obviously telling the truth, he stuck up his ring finger. What'd you make of Bryce versus the Nats fans last night?
There's a lot that he said that I have to unpack. Like, I don't understand, like, the ring finger gesture.
Well, I guess the way I took it was he kind of wanted us to go the middle finger, but he's not going to do that.
Okay,
so then it's like a make-believe middle
there's
finger.
There's that. But when you put up the ring finger, for most people, that suggests that you want a ring.
And he hasn't.
I agree.
And you haven't won a ring.
And they did without him.
And another thing that he said that kind of had me scratching my head. And I'm old. And I look at it, and I'm going to just throw that out there first. And I look at things
differently. Cut that audio.
I'm old. And I don't understand how you don't understand why they're booing you.
Yeah.
Like, number one, you're playing for a rival. They don't give a damn if you played there for 8 seasons.
And played well there. It doesn't matter
anymore. They don't care because you're not a part of that. That's just like me, if I still play, going to New York and getting a sack on their quarterback, and then asking, why y'all booing me?
Well, it wouldn't have been a hue. It would have been a boo.
It would have been
happened.
A boo. Yeah. That's the nature of fandom. And I don't understand where the disconnect is, where you don't understand that. As a human being, that's what fans do. There are some out there that have admiration for you. Most of the people that probably were booing you have admiration for you. But they're still going to boo you because you have on the wrong color jersey. And it's not that hard to figure out. So it's sometimes I just feel like sometimes I feel like guys just say stuff just to be saying it. You know, I don't understand why they're booing me. I mean, it ain't that hard to understand. You're a Philly. And you just came back. Like, they've had 3 nights of, what's it called, Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I mean, the Phillies ripped their hearts out for three straight games.
They've had 3 nights of Groundhog Day. And so you don't know why they're booing you because guess what? The first night, what was it? The second night it was Derek Hill, right? And then it was you.
March
was the first one. And now it's you. The guy that used to be one of them. Hell, I didn't even, you know what I mean? I didn't even play for him, but I figured that out. It ain't that hard to figure out. It's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah, and maybe he thought it would dissipate as the years go on, because he's been here a while now, right? Like, I was at that first game, 2019, his first game down there a couple weeks into the season, and it was like a raucous boo, right? Because he just left for here. But it's not going to dissipate, Bryce. They don't like you. And especially if they think they're back in the mix as a decent team now, then the games matter more. I mean, you heard the beater thing. They want that to be a rivalry again because they're trying to become a good team again. So, I mean, I thought it was funny. And obviously, he got the last laugh because he got the home run. But, yeah, I mean, of course he's going to get booed. 215-592-9494. Alan is in West Oak Lane. Alan's up on WIP this morning. Hey, Alan.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing today?
Good, Alan. What's up?
What up? So I think this is new strategy. We spot the team 3 to 5 runs, and then we, rip their heart out at the end, leaving them demoralized and wondering if they can continue.
So it sounds like a risky strategy, but it's certainly fun when it pays off. When the last few nights have been awesome.
I don't think you want to live in that space too long, though.
Yeah. No. But seriously, I think the team is playing up much more to their capabilities as players, and they're really gelling. I think they're very good. I can't apply the – so I'm using a G word, but I got to add the very in front of good because I don't think they're great yet. I think they have the opportunity to be great, and that will come as we move on and play some of the teams that we're going to have to really compete against. And to get some of these players who are not – hate to keep beating up on Trey. I mean, especially after – was yesterday with – I thought we were recurring the Mets. The Mets the day before had 6 errors in the infield. Now yesterday we thought, hey, that sounds like a good plan.
I did feel like a hypocrite because yesterday we poked fun at the Mets and then the Phillies were kicking the ball around.
God.
I'm like, oh boy, this is karma.
That stuff's going to happen. Okay, but this coming back, this playing to the last out, I haven't seen it since 2007-08. You know, when they won the World Series, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that they've got some very young talent that the Bryces and Schwarbers and Wheelers are helping these guys and showing them this is the way. And everybody's participating. I mean, guys who you didn't think, you know, Hill and a couple others are really performing, and hopefully they can continue to raise their game. I think it's a great thing. I'm pleased. I was there on Sunday. I saw the Mets game on Sunday. That was a great win. Sunday night, was great. And I think what they did in Washington is what they should be doing, feasting on teams that don't have the talent. And to build up their ability to know that they can. And that's – I'm not going to make any funnies or whatever. I think as a fan, I think we should be appreciating and not like, but then there's October. Okay, but you know what? Bank all the good stuff now that you can do it. Okay, and hopefully that tag will be needed, and there we go. That's my story.
It's a good story, Alan, and we preached the phone call. I think there's a lot of things in there Alan said that made sense. One thing he mentioned he hasn't seen – these kind of comebacks since those 07, 08 teams.
Mm-hmm.
They've had four games already this season. Obviously, three this week. That's why we're reacting to all this, because it's three in a row. But you go back to that Friday Pittsburgh game, middle of May, when they went down early. That was the game Nola got rocked. I think they were down 5 or 6-0. Home runs flying out everywhere for the Pirates. They've won four of those games this year. That's a lot. I mean, that to me, that's a lot for a full season, let alone it's late June and we have four of these already. Four of those kind of games where it's like, yeah, there's no way they're going to win this game, and then they win it. That says there's something about the character of this particular group. And, Hugh, we kind of made it as an under-the-radar thing, and it was, but Derek Hill, I like him. There's something about
him. He got juice.
He has juice. I think if they can get another outfielder, he's like the perfect fourth outfielder, because he's not really an everyday guy. But, you know, kind of the way Sosa has juice when he plays,
mm-hmm.
Hill's got some juice. And, you know, he has three pinch hit home runs already this season. That's a skill that a lot of guys are just not good at, pinch hitting. You know, obviously we have a very famous pinch hit home run once upon a time here in Philadelphia with Matt Stairs. It's just like, when you have a guy that has that skill, and then you come late into a game, it's not going to surprise me if we have a big game late in the season, maybe even the playoffs, where Mattingly says, Derek, you're up, and he gets a big hit. He's got something about him. I like him.
Yeah, and we've seen in the past when this team has that kind of swagger that they tend to do well with guys like that. You mm-hmm. know, I think about Bader and what he was. He was a huge shot in the arm
yep.
when he was here last year. So you want to try to keep that going, and he's definitely excited to be here. And it's something to be said about a guy who takes advantage of every situation that was put in front of him.
Well, he is. And yeah, well, speaking of help, because we could all use some help once in a while. So, you know, it's Friday. And, Hugh, you know what we do on a Friday, right?
We try.
We do try day.
It's a try day Friday.
It's try day. Hugh and Joe on Fridays.
All right, well, today's a little different and a special Tri-Day Friday. If you were listening to the WIP Afternoon Show late in the show yesterday, you heard Herb from the Northeast deliver his top 80 athletes in Philadelphia since 2000. Now, why 80? I don't know where this came from, but I did hear some of it. And while I say it, that's a big undertaking, so congratulations to Herb for completing a list like that. I mean, I think he did have 81 by accident, but whatever. He got there. He had some mistakes on the list. So what we're going to do today,
tons of mistakes. I mean, it was riddled with errors.
What we're going to do today is try to help Herb out with his list. So, Hugh, I'm going to tell you in a second where you ranked and kind of go through that. But when people, for every caller we get today on the show, every person that calls in to talk about the Phils and everything we're talking about, I will throw at you Hugh Douglas versus someone that finished ahead of Hugh on the list. And, you know, then you can tell us if you think it's right or wrong. Can we hear a little snippet of Herb in the Northeast yesterday unveiling his top 80 athletes since 2000?
68, Todd Pinkston.
Oh, how about
that? Jason is
whatever.
Go ahead.
67, Trent Cole.
5'8". Way to go, Trent Cole.
66, Hugh Douglas.
Wow. Okay.
So low.
65. Deuce Staley.
Okay.
Okay.
64, Trey Thomas.
Okay.
Well, that one's got a sting.
Yeah, because he said
I beat Trey like a drum.
Well, Herb doesn't agree.
All right, so you finished 66 on this list. Now, Hugh, I tried to put myself in Herb's head, which is a dangerous place to be, and I was mm-hmm. thinking about it. I was like, you know, what range does Hugh really belong? And I don't know. We'd have to really, really hammer
There's
this
home.
A lot
home. Of great athletes come through Philadelphia, man. But, I'm not going to lie.
There have been, but let me tell you this. I heard a stat last night, and I didn't know this one before. I'm going to see if you know it. Do you know how many Eagles pass rushers since 2000, right? This is since 2000,
mm-hmm.
have more sacks than you had from 2000 to 2002? Like, you're that three-year span, you had 37 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many Eagles have more than 37 sacks in any three-year span in the last 26 years?
I would probably say Fletcher Cox.
The answer would be zero. Nobody on the Eagles since 2000 has more sacks over 3 years than your best 3 years.
Mm.
You didn't know that.
I did not know that.
So just by that, I think you should be higher than 66. I mean, just by that, seems like 66 is kind of low. Now, did you see the list?
I did not.
Okay.
But you know what? I live in a space where everybody has their own opinion. And if that's where Herb sees me, I'm okay with that. Mm. You know? I mean, I will say this, that everybody that has played any sport always feels that they're better than maybe they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. So I'm always, when I hear anybody's name ahead of mine, I'm going to always say, because like I always tease Trent Cole. I'm like, no, Trent Cole is a carbon copy of me. You can't be better than carbon copy. That usually doesn't work that way because he's the upgrade, to be totally honest. Sure. But in my mind, I'm the one that I'm the foundational player of that made, you know, Trent Cole. I'm the reason why Andy drafted Trent, because he was trying to find me.
You were 1.0.
You made Trent.
But to be fair, Trent was the upgrade. You know what I mean? But in my mind, I feel like I'm better than Trent.
All right. Well, Herb had 65 athletes ahead of Hugh Douglas on this list.
Play with me?
Yeah. All right. So when you call in today, it's a try day. 215-592-9494. We'll throw one of the athletes ahead of Hugh on the list, and it's simple. Hugh or that guy. I mean, Kyle, this list had a lot of problems with it yesterday. I mean it was...
Well, tons. Yeah.
Well, I would say until the top five, it really... And even that I have some discrepancies with. But even... Like, it didn't make any sense.
No.
At least at the end, he was trying,
the
I think.
The whole thing is a disaster, if we're going to be honest.
And there was no Allen Iverson. He missed him. He just missed AI altogether. Well,
people forget.
You can't forget AI.
Yeah, well...
I mean, that's hard. You can't.
Yeah, you can't.
You better keep your mouth down and shut, boy.
All right. Well, we're not. We're going to talk about his list. Let's go to John in Allentown. Up next on WIP. Hey, John.
Damn, Hugh. He did you dirty. That list is fraudulent.
Oh, no, man. You know what? It's Herb's opinion, and I respect Herb's opinion, because that's how he sees it. And you can't stop somebody from seeing it the way they see it. You know what I mean?
You can try.
You can try, but you probably it's not
think
probably gonna work.
I don't think he can see. That's the problem. Maybe he can't see.
Well, just I don't know what the criteria was either.
You were
the best athlete since 2000.
Yeah, I don't know how he got to that. I don't know how.
Well, when I tell you some of the names above you, how we got there is the problem. Crazy. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, guys, the Phillies, not great. They're not a great team.
Why?
You know, Kyle argued with me. He badgered me into saying that the Phillies are a good team.
Well, you said they were okay.
You know,
John, they're better than
okay. Yeah, I said they were okay.
Well, God forbid.
He talked me into they were good.
Just trying to make you sound more intelligent.
I believe they're good.
That's all.
Listen.
So why,
I don't need you to do that, buddy.
Why good, not great, John? Why good, not great?
Disagree.
Why good, not great? Because good teams don't have to come back in the ninth inning over and over and over again. Great teams, you know, are scoring in the first five innings and putting a team away.
Can I ask you a question? What did you think about the New York Knicks this year? Do you consider them a great team?
I'm not a Knicks fan.
No, I'm just asking. I'm not a Knicks fan either. But given what you just said, the Knicks came back in every game that they played in. Like everyone else, lost one.
You got to give them that. But they also played. They have also played against what I think was the third best team in the West, with a lot of inexperience, didn't know how to put the foot on the jugular.
But they beat the best team in the West. You know? They beat the defending champs, though. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm just kind of curious to how you feel about the Knicks.
I hate the Knicks.
No, I meant after they won the championship.
I think he means specifically
after
how they won.
After they won, before they won, it doesn't matter.
I respect that, too.
But yeah.
I respect that.
All right. You know, so here's what I'm thinking here, guys. Like, to be a great team, you have to beat the great teams. And let's see if they can do that, you know, and then we'll go from there. Like, the only thing that's going to convince me that this team is any different than the team from last year is if, you know, there's two outs to go, two strikes, and Duran's on the mound getting ready to close out the World Series. That's the only thing that's going
to
convince
me.
Yeah,
you need to see it to believe it. John, I think you're not the only one that feels that. All right, John, you ready? Try-day Friday, Hugh Douglas or someone above him on Herb's list. All right, here we go. Hugh Douglas came in at number 66 on Herb's list. I need you to tell me who's better, Hugh at number 66 or the person ranked number 55? Better player, Hugh Douglas or Ike Reese?
You went straight for the check.
Oh, my God. Hugh Douglas was one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And I love Ike Reese, but Ike Reese was a glorified part-time player, special teamer.
Wow.
Hugh Douglas, way better.
All right. Now, a good call, John. Let's be fair. Hugh did make the Pro Bowl as a special teamer.
Yeah, Ike was a hell of a player, too, man. I remember watching Ike in college, and Ike was a hell of a pass rusher. Ike just didn't Ike didn't tap into that pass rush skill that he had.
I had to throw that one out of people first. I had to get it out of the way.
He did it wrong.
I guess what the first part of the call that Bob, not the me and him back and forth, but where he said good teams don't have to come back. And like, did the Dodgers not just do that in the World Series against the Blue Jays? Like, didn't they have, they hit a home run to tie the game in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And they had to come back and win in extras. Like, and I get, obviously, that's the World Series. They're going against the Blue Jays, but great teams have to make comebacks all the time. Like,
well,
what are you talking about?
I mean, also, if you go back to 08, 09, I
think about the Cavaliers.
The Phillies, like, I'm sure there were plenty of comebacks.
I mean, because, like, going into that series against the Golden State Warriors, the Golden State Warriors on a hell of a run.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cavs were on the brink of elimination, and they came back and won. I think that I understand what he's saying, but you got to give them their props because they came back and won. They came back and did something against a good team that had won a couple championships, came back and beat them. And the reason why I use the Knicks, because going into that game, Wemby looked like he was unstoppable. And the big question that I think everybody had was, how are you going to stop him? They did that.
Well, they did. They did.
They did that.
So the other thing is, so many of these games are won or lost at the end of the game. I mean, every sport, right? I mean, really, it's become every sport now. And the Phillies, we know, are good with their closer, right? Duran is, I mean, I don't know where you want to rank him, but probably a top two or three closer in baseball. I don't think he's quite Mason Miller, but if you're second best behind Mason Miller, that's pretty awesome. Duran is great. We know they're going to be good pitching-wise in the ninth inning. If they can also show a little pulse hitting as comeback-wise and they keep winning these ninth innings, you're going to win a lot of games. I mean, regardless of the area and the league, you're going to win a lot of games. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. All right, all your phone calls on the Phillies here. Do you consider this a great team? Bryce Harper said it last night, and they've played like that for a long period of time now. They're showing some sort of thing about them where they're never out of a game. Four wins, improbable kind of victories in the first, you know, half of the season is a lot for a major league team. Your phone calls in the Phillies, are they great? Plus, another list when we get back, not just Herbs for Tri-Day, another list. Interesting, coming off our conversation with Dan Orlovsky yesterday, we'll hit a new list that's out, top 100 players of pro football right now, ranked by a writer, and what Dan Orlovsky said yesterday about Jalen Hurts. We'll hit all that. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.